Thank you. I'm here alone without my family because, as I was telling Pastor John, when the children are smaller, it's easier to bring them along. But as they grow older, they want to be with their friends. And so they said, "No, Dad, we'd rather go to our church and be with our friends." So, and my wife had a class to do, so here I am alone. But it's good to be back with you. I think it's almost 2 years since I was last here. Let's pray and commit this time to the Lord. Father, thank you that as we come together as your people, it's a reminder to us that you are our Creator. You are our God, our Lord. And we are yours because not only have you created us, but you have also redeemed us by your death on the cross. And so we are twice yours. And so now, Lord, as your people, we come to hear from you. And we pray that as we look into your word, your spirit might speak. And you might enable us to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Just on Wednesday night, I was having a conversation. I was meeting up with one of my young adults. He's 28 or 29 years old, worked for a few years, and at that stage in his life where he's not quite satisfied with the job he is in right now, and so he's contemplating on changing, doing something different. And so his burning question was, "Pastor, how do I know what is God's will for me? Should I do this? Should I do that? How will I know what is God's will for me?" And as we were conversing, I told him, actually, God's will is very simple. God's will is that we stay in intimacy, in close relationship with Him. That we live our lives in dependence on Him. And anything that will cause us to draw closer to Him, to be more dependent on Him, is His will. And anything that draws us away from that closeness, that intimacy of walk, that dependency from Him, on Him, is not His will. And today I like to share with you from a passage that kind of brings that out. It's an incident in Jesus' life. It's unique to Luke's gospel, so you wouldn't have considered it in John's gospel as you study John. Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. Just 5 short verses, but a very powerful incident that occurred in Jesus' life when he was on earth. Luke 10, 38 to 42. "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" I think the NIV says Mary has chosen the better thing, and that will not be taken away from her. Now the context, this incident happens as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And he is on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. And to get there, he has to go through the village of Bethany. Luke doesn't mention the name, but this is, we know it's the village of Bethany because it's the village where Mary and Martha lived. And suddenly along comes this crowd to this village, unannounced, unanticipated. And it wouldn't have been a small number, because in the least, it would have meant Jesus and his 12 disciples, which is 13. But it could have possibly included some from the 70 that Jesus had earlier sent out two by two to all the surrounding villages. But we know at least 13, Jesus and the 12. They come to this village, and we are told in the opening verse, Martha welcomed them into her house. Now, unannounced, unanticipated. She didn't know they were coming. Spontaneous invitation. And so it's not surprising to find here Martha is a bit stressed. Because if you consider in the household, there would have been at least Mary, Martha and Lazarus, another three. Preparing a meal for 16 people, suddenly, just like that. And so she's distracted, she's stressed. And it's a bigger surprise that her sister, Mary, was not. And where was Mary? Martha must have looked around for Mary. She needed the help. She needed her to be in the kitchen with her. And so when she looked around, there was Mary, happily sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him. Totally oblivious to all the tasks that are required in preparing a quick meal for a fairly big number. And I'd like us to look at this incident from two perspectives. Firstly, we'll consider the perspective of Martha, how she saw things. And then we will look at it from Mary's perspective. Now Martha, she's the one who invited Jesus into her home. And it was definitely love and devotion to the Lord that led her to take on that task of entertaining him, feeding him as worthily as possibly she could. And so Martha seems to be the kind of person who had the gift of hospitality. The kind of person that desired and liked to use that gift to serve others. Martha probably was the kind of person who would offer to sit by a sick child while its mother got some rest. Or probably she was the kind of person who, if a family was sick, she was the one to cook a pot of soup and bring it over to the family. Martha wanted to show hospitality. It was a good desire, a good intention, a worthy intention. But you see, that meant that she had very little time to actually sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him talking, teaching, sharing. It was not that she did not enjoy his conversation. She probably would have enjoyed to do it as much as Mary. But in her mind, if you're going to prepare a dinner for 16 people, somebody's got to do the work. Sitting around at anybody's feet won't get the food prepared, isn't it? something had to be done about the meal. And Martha had very clear, very strong ideas on what things had to be done when you are entertaining a guest as important as Jesus. It was a good desire, a good intention. But it was the very thing that filled her with resentment when Mary left off working and went and sat at the Lord's feet to listen to his word. It filled her with resentment because it meant that Mary was getting all the pleasure and Martha was getting all the work, her own share and Mary's share as well. And so to Martha, Mary was being selfish. Mary was being unfair. Mary was neglecting her duty. And so she smolders. She was angry at Mary for being so selfish. And the trouble was, Jesus was doing nothing about it. In fact, he seemed to be encouraging Mary in her wrong behavior by letting her sit at his feet and continuing to engage her in conversation. For Martha, clearly Jesus should have told Mary to get up and go help out in the kitchen. And so not only was she smoldering against Mary, she was annoyed with Jesus. And so she goes up to Jesus and basically suggests that he was being irresponsible in encouraging Mary to act so unfairly. Look at verse 40. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." She even rebukes Jesus. And you notice she never speaks to Mary. Now she could have gone quietly to Mary and said, "Shh, Mary, come here. I need your help. Help me in the kitchen." She ignores Mary. She talks only to Jesus. And the way the question, she phrases the question, she actually expects a positive reply from Jesus. She expects Jesus to say something like, "Oh, yeah, Mary, you better go and help Martha. She needs your help." She expects Jesus to come to her aid. And before we consider Jesus' response to her, let's look at Mary. Now, Mary comes across as someone willing to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his teaching as his disciple. Now, today it is hard to understand what a momentous paradigm shift this action represents. Because in Judaism of that day, women did not sit at the feet of rabbis, teachers. It was unheard of for a rabbi, a teacher, to allow a woman to sit at his feet to learn. The woman's place was in the kitchen. Mary's posture expresses a desire to learn. And this is a point that is so crucial to understanding what this story is all about. Mary was listening intently to the word of God through the lips of Jesus. She stopped all things in her life just to sit and listen to Jesus. Mary was focused. She was listening. But we are told, on the other hand, Martha was what? She was distracted. With much serving. And you see how the story pits Mary and Martha against each other by way of contrast. Martha was distracted with much serving. I will come back to that a little later. Now here are the two sisters, Mary and Martha. Now look at Jesus' response. He tells Martha, verses 41 and 42, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, the better thing, which will not be taken away from her." The double use of Martha's name, Martha, Martha, highlights the emotion and affection in Jesus' voice. He is gently but firmly correcting Martha. And it was not that he underestimated her service. He was not faulting her for her service. It was simply that when he visited their home that day, he was on a journey. And he knew the time he had left to spend with these two sisters was very limited. He knew that he would probably not be passing this way again. And Martha's need for to be in Jesus' presence was greater than Jesus' need for a good meal. Martha's need to be in Jesus' presence and to hear his words was greater than Jesus' need for a good meal. And basically Jesus is saying to Martha, "Martha, you're worried and upset over too many things. One dish would have been enough. That's all you really need to prepare. Just a simple meal would have been enough." And the question therefore was whether Martha was willing to cut down her work to a minimum to prepare just a simple meal and thereby give the Lord the maximum amount of time to talk to her and enjoy his fellowship. Or would she still insist on putting up an elaborate meal which would leave her with very little time to sit and listen and fellowship with the Lord? Because we are left in no doubt that Jesus would have preferred Martha's fellowship to her service. And Martha had no idea that this was a critical time in Jesus' life on earth. But she should have sensed that he would have preferred her company, her fellowship, over her service. But Martha's idea of what had to be done was different from Jesus's. She meant well. She loved the Lord. And she thought she was serving him. But her sense of what was necessary was depriving her of what was most necessary. Her idea of what was necessary was depriving her of what was most necessary. And it had come about precisely because she was not willing to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen to him long enough to figure out what he regarded as the most important. And you notice that Martha's irritation spoiled her relationship with the Lord. It was a special evening for her. The Lord was in her home. The Messiah was in her home. And she had the opportunity to entertain him. She had the opportunity to fellowship with him. But because of her irritation, she's annoyed. She's upset with him. And she goes up to him and says, "Lord, don't you care about me?" You see how sometimes when we serve the Lord with the wrong intention, motivation, it can spoil our service. And our service can be something that's burdensome, something that is irritable, something that is done out of a sense of duty. Now, on the other hand, Mary's choice, although it goes against every conceivable standard for women in Jesus' day, is commended by Jesus. Why? Why is that which Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet the better thing? It is the better thing simply because that's what Jesus wanted of her when he came to their home that evening. It is a better thing because that's what Jesus desired of her when he came to their home that day. He wanted to spend time with them. He wanted to talk with them. That was his desire for them. And so what Mary chose was the better thing because it was in line with what Jesus desired for them. And it's important to remember that discipleship sometimes requires that tasks be suspended while fellowship is maintained. Discipleship is always a balanced combination of two things: service and fellowship reflection. And Mary shows us the importance of the fellowship, the communion, the reflecting on what Jesus is saying, the listening to what Jesus is saying. And today that would translate into time spent in God's Word, reading, meditating. Today it could involve moments of silence before God in prayer, listening to His voice, spending time with Him in His Word alone. And it is a great temptation for us as believers, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to serve at the expense of that time spent with the Lord. To serve with good intention. To make our service a reflection of our love for Him, and yet allowing our service to take away that time that we spend with Him. My usual weekday schedule is I leave home around 6:30 in the morning to drop my daughter in her primary school. So she has to be in school before 7:30. And then after dropping her in school, I go straight to the church office. So I'm in office by about 8:15. And no one else is there. Our part-time administrator comes around 9. The Chinese pastor comes also around between 9:30. So when I get into office, I have at least 1 hour of complete quietness. And it's ideal for me to begin the day with my Bible reading and having my devotions. But so often I find myself, when I get to office, the first thing I do, I switch on my computer. And either I start up by checking mail, checking email, thinking, I clear that off, get that off, and end up doing that for 1 hour. Or starting work on my sermon for Sunday. And before I know it, my quiet time, my devotional time with the Lord has gone out the window. And so often I had to remind myself, yes, the sermon is pressing, the emails are pressing, there are other to-do things on my list that are pressing, but I need to put them aside and give that time to hear the Lord, to read His Word. And it's a great temptation for all of us in our busy day, in our packed schedules, to carve out time, to prioritize time, to make time. Because often when things get busy, the first thing to go is our time with the Lord. Somehow, it's as if the Lord can wait, but the other things cannot wait. And so the better thing needed. This story illustrates for us the first of the two great commandments Jesus gave to the lawyer when he asked, what should I do to inherit eternal life? You remember that? Luke 10:27. Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Notice the order. Notice the order. This commandment must be in that order. If we get it turned around, it will destroy us. It will burn us out. It is only when neighbor love grows out of a love for Jesus that it has staying power. And this is the radical demand for total, unequivocal devotion to the Lord. Martha wanted to honor Jesus, but Jesus was telling her the way to honor Him was Mary's way, to listen to Him and to receive what He offers. You see, Mary attends to Jesus by receiving Jesus rather than trying to provide for Jesus. I have to always tell myself, Jesus doesn't need me to get His work done. He graciously includes me, loves me, but He can do it very well without me. And my primary task is not so much what I do for Jesus. My primary task as His disciple, as His follower, as His child, is to attend to Him, be with Him, listen to Him. And I tell you, as pastors, it is very easy to get this all mixed up and to start thinking that what we do for Him is more important than spending time with Him. And so the one thing that is needed, the better thing, is listening to the Word of God. And amidst all of life's duties and necessities and demands, the supreme necessity, the number one priority, which we have to intentionally choose, even to the exclusion of all others, is that priority to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to His Word. Because if there is a Creator, and that Creator was prepared to visit us and speak to us, then obviously as His creatures, our first duty is to listen to what He says. We are created for relationship. We are put here for God's own purposes and pleasure. And that's why I told my young adult, you know, God's will, what is God's will? Anything that helps you to stay closer to Jesus and depend more on Jesus, that is God's will. And anything that will draw you away from Jesus and depending on Him, is not His will. Life is short. And we cannot do everything. There is simply not enough time. And so like Mary, we have to choose and choose very deliberately. Because life will not automatically choose for us. Our demands will not automatically fall into an order of priorities. If we don't intentionally, consciously make sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to His word a number one priority, a necessity, 1,001 other things, all claiming to be urgent, to be necessary, will monopolize our time, our energies, and rob us of the better thing. And for us Christians, sometimes, even oftentimes, it can be our very service to the Lord. And because Mary kept to that one thing, as a devoted listener to the words of Jesus, I want to show you how sensitive she was, how tuned in she was to what was important. Now, y'all are doing John's Gospel, and y'all probably have looked at this passage in John 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served again. And Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Where was Mary? You're familiar with that passage? Suddenly Mary, without warning, approaches Jesus carrying an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. And what does she do? She pours a generous portion on Jesus' head, anoints him, and pours the rest of the contents on Jesus' feet, and then wipes his feet with her hair. Now, why this expression of fervent devotion? Why this sacrifice of a perfume that would have cost as much as $45,000 Sing dollars today, approximately? That's the value of the perfume. The answer comes from Jesus' own lips when he says, "Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Mary had understood what even the 12 disciples had failed to understand. Jesus had repeatedly and plainly spoken of his coming death, but the disciples just could not accept it. But here was Mary. Mary, who listened carefully to Jesus' words, understood that he was going to die. And so she took the opportunity to anoint him for his burial. You see how tuned in she was to what was happening. And it's the same for us who take time, prioritize time to spend in God's word, listening to what God is saying. You become tuned in to God's heartbeat. You become tuned in to God's agenda in a way that intuitively you know what God desires. I think today in Singapore, one of the greatest needs for us is to simplify our lives. We are, like Mary, distracted with many things. And sometimes we are not even aware that we are too busy. for our own good. How do you know whether you are too busy or not? One indicator is that if what you are doing is driving you to distraction, like what happened to Martha, you find yourself often getting upset, anxious, irritable, short-fused, hard to get along with. It could be time then for you to simplify things. And to ask yourself, what does stop, drop, and listen look like in your life? What does stop, drop whatever you're doing, and listen look like in your life? For each of you, it'll be different. And it's something you have to reflect, take stock for yourself. I want to end by telling you a story. It's a story I came across in something that I read. It's a story of a mother and her son. The father had died when the boy was very young. And so the boy was brought up by his mother. And when the little boy was growing up, the mother and son had developed a routine to spend the evenings listening to music and reading to one another. This was probably before the time of TV. So they would, you know, from the time the boy was young, they would spend the evening just listening to music and reading to one another. Many years passed, and later the son grew up and met a young woman at the church, fell in love, and they decided to get married. But since housing was difficult to find and expensive, the mother said, "Well, we have a two-story house. I can make an apartment for myself in the second story, in the second level. You and your bride can live in the first level. I have only one request. The only thing I ask is that we get a chance to spend some time together, because I'm going to miss the reading and the music." And so her son said to her, "Mother, you can be sure of that. It's important for me too." Well, the couple married. And for a while, life continued, with the son stopping by a couple of times a week to spend some time with his mom. But he was busy, and eventually weeks went by between visits. On one Mother's Day, the son bought a lovely dress for the mother. She opened the package, looked at the dress, and said, "Son, thank you. I appreciate so much what you've done." And he said, "Mother, you don't like it, do you?" She said, "Oh yes, I do. It's my color. Thank you." And he said, "Mother, I have the sales slip. They tell me I can take it back." And she said, No, it's a lovely dress." And he said, "Mother, you don't fool me. We've been together too long. What's wrong?" The mother turned and opened her closet, her wardrobe. And she said, "Son, I have enough dresses here to last me for the rest of my life. I guess all I want to say is that I don't want your dress. I want you. I don't want your dress. I want you." Could God be saying that to us? this morning? Could he be even saying, I don't want your service? I want you. Let us pray. Father, help us to understand. That your Father heart desires more than anything else to fellowship with us, your children. Forgive us, Lord, for times we have neglected that time with you. To do good things, perhaps to even serve in the church, perhaps even to serve others in the community, thinking that that is what you desire from us. Help us to realize, Lord, that yes, service is good, but not at the expense of our time with you. Help us to know that you are a Father who longs to commune with us, to speak with us, to enjoy intimacy in relationship with us. And I pray, Lord, that even this week you will, by your Spirit, remind us to attend to you, to be with you. Above everything else. And to know that as we do that, you are able to arrange everything else. All other demands, all other necessities and needs will fall into place. And so we pray even this week, Lord, as we go forth about our daily life, help us to prioritize our time with you and then to experience how everything else will fall into place. Where even things that we thought were urgent will become not so urgent because we have first spent time with you, heard from you, received from you. In Jesus' name, amen.